Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Mem Ches. We will begin a Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amalei. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had brought a brisa about how many lavin somebody could potentially be over for cooking giranosha on chol in milk on yontif. And the reason the Gemara had brought the brisa, because as we've been discussing, we've been learning the concept of hoyl, and that brisa seemed to teach us that we don't apply the concept of hoyl, and that's why you would be chayiv for havara on yontif. In order to defend that we do say the concept of hoyl, and because we do say the concept of hoyl, havara cannot be one of the melachos that one would be chayiv for in that brisa, the Gemara took out the melacha of Havara from the Braisa and replaced it with Muksa, and indicated, as we discussed at the end of our previous year, that Muksa actually represents a Issa Deraisa. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says to Rava, how could you suggest that Muksa is an Issa Deraisa? Va'atu the Amrit, aren't you the one that taught us? The boy named Rav Chisda, that you would ask the question of Rav Chisda, Ramle boy named Rav Huna, or you would ask the question from Huna, Hevi se me'efer, if you brought a sheep from where the animals graze on Yontif, and that would be a case of an animal being muksa, it was taken out for pasture, it's not something that was prepared to be used on Yontif. V'shachtoi, and you used it, and you took that animal and you shechted it, the tamid biyontif, as the carbon tamid on yontif, mahu. The question is, can such an animal be used for the carbon tamid on yontif? Vat amrit long Allah, and you are the one that, in answering the question, quoted a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel actually refers to the kabbanis that we're going to bring in mitzvah shem memherib yomeinu, in the Beis HaMikdash, by the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. But we learn many halachas from that pasuk. Se, the pasuk in Yecheskel, says, Se, achas, menatsoy, menamasayim, mimashki, Yisrael. We learn from here that Se comes to teach us that you could use any type of an animal as a carbon, both a male or a female, when the Torah allows it. V'loya b'char, because an animal that by definition can only be a male, a b'char we know can only be a male. Achas, the Torah says that it's achas, that it didn't come from a group. The pasuk is coming to teach us we have to bring an animal that is itself, v'loya l'maisa, not an animal that was designated for Maisa. Menatsoin, what do we learn from Metsoin? Veloya Pilegis. An animal that is, when we speak about a kevis, the Torah often speaks about being a kevis for an animal, for carbon, that's when it's within the first year. An ayul is when it's ready after 1 month into the second year. So when you have an animal which is a pilegis is that it's not yet, palgus is proper pronunciation, I'm sorry. Palgus is an animal that's not yet, that's above that 1 year, but not yet into the second year. Palgus is, the Rambam explains, palgus. The animal is divided into half. It hasn't yet come to the status of an ayo, but it's not yet, but it's out of being in the category of it's out of the category of being a kevis. I saw that the Sefer Teres Chesed asks a question. How can we have a discussion if an animal was not here? Can it be used for Kabbalah Yontif? Isn't the halacha that all animals that are used for Kabbalah have to have Bikur Dal Jamim? They have to be inspected for 4 days. So how could any animal be usable? So he answers that the Teres Chesed, that the beaker of Dalet Yomim, the halacha that we have to examine the animal for 4 days, ain't ma'akev. It's l'chatchil, something that should be done, but it's not absolutely essential. Min ha'masayim, that if we separate a carbon, so we're obviously not speaking about a carbon, explained the Rishonim. Here we're talking about the Nesachim, and the halacha is that with every carbon we have to bring along the Nesachim, and if the carbon, the wine that we want to use for the Nesachim, got mixed up together with Arla, the halacha is that as long as the Arla is bottle and 200, the shear of bittel by Arla is a ratio of 201. If there's 200 portions, a ratio of 200 to 1 of good wine versus Arla wine, then it's fine. And in fact, says the Gemara, Mekan l'Arla shebetel b'masayim. This is where we learn that the Arla is bottled, that the shear bittel by Arla is 200. B'mashki Yisrael, hamutal Yisrael, something that Yisrael may partake from, that is the halacha only for something that we may eat, can be used from a carbon. Mikar Amr Emavina Sachmana Tevel. Tevel, as we've been discussing, is absolutely prohibited, and therefore you can't use Nesachim from a Tevel. So here we learn a new din, Mimashka Yisrael. All the kabbanis that were used for us have to be something that we're allowed to eat. And as I saw the Achronim explain, the Achila of the Mizbeach is considered an Achila, no different than our Achila. And just like we may only eat certain foods, so too would be the halacha regarding a carbon. In fact, I saw that the Achronim ask the Adam Arishin and Noach and Adam Arishin's children, how could they have brought carbonis? At that point, we weren't allowed to eat meat. And even since we weren't able to eat meat, so it's not Mimashk Yisrael. Aren't we learning that you only could use for carbon something that we're allowed to eat? So one teretz that I saw, it goes back to a very fundamental question, is how do we look at them? Do we look at them as Yisrael, or do we look at them as Bnei Noach? If we look at them as Bnei Yisrael, so then this is a valid question. But if we look at them as Bnei Noach, so all of these halachas do not apply to Bnei Noach. And then the other teretz that I saw to that question is that this halacha, since ultimately animals will be mutter to Klal Yisrael, even though at that point they weren't yet mutter, the halacha is that since ultimately they will be mutter, that's enough to make them be considered minamashk Yisrael. Continues the Braisa. I would think that you can't use muksa as either for a carbon. Amrit, ma tevel miyuchad. When we speak about tevel, the isser of tevel is sura gufa. It is an inherent isser in that grain. Isser gufa garmloi, that we may not eat it. Avkal shisa gufa garmloi. When we speak about an isser, it's only something which is inherently yasa. Yotza muksa, when we speak about muksa, the isser of muksa shein isser gufa garmloi, it's not an inherent isser. Alas adava acha garmloi. Because it was separated, because it wasn't prepared, that's why it can't be eaten it can't be eaten. Now, says the Gemara, I amrit isser muksa daraisa. If we'll say that the Issa Muksa is Daraisa, so whenever we look at an Issa Daraisa, Mali Issa Gufa, Mali Issa Davacher, what's the difference? Why it's Asr? Asr is Asr. And as I saw, as explained by the Achroinim, if it's an Issa Drabonon, so there we could understand that the Rabbanon only said that since the only time in Daraisa, something is Asr on the Mizbeach, all the cases that we identified that are Asr Midaraisa are all situations of Isser Gufoi that are inherently Asr. So therefore we have a klal called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun. Whenever the Rabbanon make a rule, they fashion it the way the Torah fashioned the rule. So since the Torah said it's only Asr in the case of Isser Gufoi, so too will the Rabbanon say it's only Asr by an Isser Gufoi. But if we're going to say that the Isser Muksa is an Issa Daraisa, so then it shouldn't make a difference why it's Asr. if it's Asr Migufay or Asr Medavar Achar. The bottom line is, if it's Asr and there's a din of a Mashke Yisroel, then why should we differentiate between Issa Gufay and Issa Machmas Davar Achar? Ask the Gemara, Void, how could you say that this Bryce is speaking about a case of cooking with Muksa? Ha'at Amrit, you taught us in Masechta Makis, yesh chilk melachos l'Shabbos. As we discussed when we learned Masechta Shabbos, that if somebody does many melachos on Shabbos, he chayev a separate chatas on every melacha. Ve'en chilk melachos l'yantif. But if somebody does many melachos on Yontif, obviously it's talking about he did them b'mezid, that because then there's a chayev malchus for every melacha, because v'shoigig, there's no chiv chattis on yontif. Because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Masech Decreases, chattis and chorus travel together. So on Shabbos, where if somebody does melacha, there's a chiv chorus, so b'mezid. So v'shoigig, there's a chiv karm chattis, and we could be discussing how many karm chattis you could bring, you would have to bring, for doing different melachas on Shabbos. On yontif, there aren't. There's no chiv karis. If there's no chiv karis, there's no chiv chattis. So the case here is where somebody did many melachas on yontif b'mezid, where normal, the question is, does he get a separate set of makis for every melacha? Or no? So the halacha is that you only get one malchus. So now the question is, if somebody cooked the giranosha in cholov on yontif, and I'd say muksa, why is he chayiv twice? One for Mavashal and one for Muksa. They're both Yontif Digi Yisurim. And we just said that you hold that by Yontif, for different Melachas, you could have done many different Melachas and only be chayiv one Malchus. So the question is, if this is Abaye's opinion, points out the Pnei Yeshua, so this question should have been asked already in our previous year. That when we thought that Yechayiv 2, one for Havara and one for Vashel, so then we should have right away jumped and said, well, how can you be Chayiv for Havara and Mevashel on Yontif? So the Pnei Yeshua explains, in a situation where the two Melachis are totally separate from each other, Havara and Bishel are totally separate. Havara is you made the fire, and Bishel is you cooked. Since they're totally distinct from each other, even if you hold that you chayiv for only one, for all the malachas you do on yontif, that is at least if they were done in one act. So when you do have voro, what atse muksa explains the Pnei Yeshua, so that was done with one act. You use the atse muksa to make a fire. And that's what the halach is, you only chayiv once. There, it was two different acts. And there, for sure, you only chayiv for one. So since there you only chayiv for one, the question is, why? How could you say that these are the separate melachas, even if you hold muksa is osur on yontem medaraisa? Ella, says the Gemara, apik havara, Rav still wants to take out havara, because otherwise we're going to have a problem. How will we defend the concept of hayil? For ayil, atzei ashera. But in its place, put in atzei ashera, that you're not allowed to use the ashera wood, which is avodah zara. Vezhara mihacha, where is the lav for using atzei ashera? Because the Torah says lo yibak biyotchem uma menacherim. Ask the Gemara, amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Labaya, if that's the lav that we're discussing, v'nilka nami mishuv lo yisavi tov el beisecha, whenever you use something like that, you're also over another lav, so we should have more lavim, not less lavim. Answers the Gemara, ela arpik havara, still consistent to removing havara because we want to defend the concept of hoyel for ayel atzei hegdish, and in place it that the lav was of using atzei hegdish. Vezhara mehacha, the Torah says vashirfeim tisrufim beish avodah zara should be destroyed loisasu kei l'shem l'keichem. So there's a lav, and that's the lav that you're over, and now we can understand how we have the five lavim and how, according to what we learned at yesterday's year of chiyah summary. Two are an achila. One is the achila of the giranosha, and one is the achila of bas b'chalav. And three for cooking, bishul bas b'chalav, cooking on yontif, and now we just add burning atzei hagdish. the question is, if we're talking about Atzei Hegdish, why don't we say that it's, why is there no Isser Me'ila? So the Rishonim respond that the Atzei Hegdish we're talking about are Atzei Shlomim. And Atzei Shlomim, as we've discussed, are not subject to the halachas of Atzei Hegdish, and not Shlomim, something which is Kachim Kalim, are not subject to the din of Me'ila. Amar Rabbi Bachama, Hodor of Chizav Rava. This machloikus that we've had in our shiurim between Rav Chisda and Rava regarding the question of Hoyel, so the Gemara wants to suggest is actually the machloikus of Belezer of Yeshua in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we had a question if somebody was making an Issa Tameya B'yantiv, the dough was Tamei. So what are we supposed to do with the Challah? Because the Challah can't be given to the Kohen can't eat Challah Tameya, and we can't bake it we can't bake it on Yontif because we can't eat it in Yontif. So we had Rav Elazar saying that you should bake the entire challah, and then even at the end, you decide to use one of those challahs as the challah that you're going to give to the Tekoyim, which is the challah Tameya. We since at the time that we're baking, we don't know which is that challah that's going to be used for that we're going to be used for that purpose. So therefore, when we baked it, we could say hoyel, that maybe that's the challah that I'm going to keep myself. So that's why we say that Rabbi Elazar seemingly holds hoyel. The Rabbi Elazar sov amrinan hoyel, and therefore, even though at the end it turns out that that's not the challah, that doesn't make a difference. And the Rishonim go in to explain this Gemara a little deeper. Really, every one of the challahs could be a challah that I could eat. Why is the every one of the challahs is one that I could eat? Because I don't have to take off one whole challah for all of the challahs. I could really have in mind that from every challah, I'm taking off a little piece as the challah, and the rest will be given, and the rest I could eat. At the end, I don't have to do that. At the end, I could take one whole challah for the whole group of challahs. But since that's the halacha, Rabbi Elazar says, I'm allowed to bake all the challahs based on the concept of hoyel. Rabbi Shua Sover, Rabbi Shua on the other hand, says, lo yamrin hoyel. And therefore, since there's going to be a challah here which won't be edible, so I don't say, well, maybe this is not that challah, and therefore I can't bake it. And therefore, obviously, he doesn't hold the concept of hoyel. Amra Papa, to which Rabbi Papa comments, Dama Atkan loikam Rabbi Elazar Hosom. The reason why in our Mishnah Rabbi Elazar allowed us to bake all these challahs, when we're putting these doughs into the oven, every one of those doughs is a dough that I is a loaf that I potentially could eat, and therefore Rabbi Elazar says hoyel avul hocha. In the case when you're baking for Yontif for Shabbos, where the reason Rav says I'm allowed to do it, because since guests may show up, so it turns out what I was baking for today. The L'Archen Hu D'Chazi. I'm not baking for myself, because as we always have been explaining this Gemara, our Gemara is referring to a situation where I already don't need to eat. So since I'm not baking for myself, I'm only baking for somebody else, I'm only baking for other people of the day. Maybe over here, we won't say hoyel. Maybe we only say hoyel in a case where I could eat it for myself. That means, even though Rabbi Elazar holds of hoyel, he's much more limited in saying hoyel. On the other hand, Amrav Shishabre Dravidi, V'demalahi. And the same we could say Rabbi Shua doesn't necessarily not agree with Hoyle, because we could suggest that at Kalan Kamar Rabbi Shua Hassan, the Loy Amin Hoyle, where does Rabbi Shua not subscribe to Hoyle? El Dikha Chodah, the Loy Chazi, Loy Ledev, Loy Larchim. There's a challah that nobody could eat. The challah that ultimately will be designated as the challah, and it's challah Tmeya, that nobody's allowed to eat. That's why I'm not allowed to bake it on Yontif. Maybe I'm not hungry, and maybe I won't eat anymore. But my guests may, I certainly have guests that may come up. And since the guests that may come up. Maybe indeed we could say hoil. So basically what happens in the Gemara is that we try to connect this machlokes in our Mishnah to hoil, and we see that it isn't connected. Amru Rabbanan, so Chachamim said over what Rabbi Bachama said, that he wanted to connect the machlokes of Lezer Yeshua with the machlokes of Rabbi of Chizda. Kamei to Rabbi Yirmi Rav Zeira. This was said over to Rabbi Yirmi Rav Zeira that these two machlokes can travel together. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmi Kibla. Rabbi Yirmi accepted this connection. Rav Zeira like Kibla. Amalei Rabbi Yirmi Rav Zeira. Milsa the Koshla of Asi Kamishani. We had a question for many years to try to understand, but my pligi Rabbi Lezer Yeshua. What is the basis of the machlokes of Rabbi Lezer Yeshua? Hash the Amru Mishmei the Gabi Rava. And now that we got such a great explanation for learning the Kabbalah, why shouldn't we accept this wonderful explanation? Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Heicha Kabbalah, how could I accept this explanation? The Tanina, we learned the Braisa. Amalei Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Lezer are disagreeing, as we've been learning. And Rabbi Shua says to Rabbi Lezer, Lidvarecha, that you hold that we could bake all these loaves on Yontif, even though one will end up being Chala Tameya. Harei Oiver, why is this not considered that he did the Aveira of Leisasaka Melacha, that you're not allowed to do Melacha on Yontif? Vishasiklei, and Rabbi Lezer did not have a response. However, if Rami Bacham is correct, that Rabbi Lezer subscribes to the concept of Hoyul, Leimalei, that's how Rabbi Lezer should have defended himself. He should have said, the reason it's not a problem, because I hold Hoyul. Tam the Dim, Shem Hoyul. Amalei, and Rabbi Yirmi says to Rabbi Zeira, Ula Tameich, that you say the fact that he was silent is an indication that he didn't have what to answer. Hoda Tanina Bebraisa. The Braisa says, Amalei Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer turns around to Yeshua and says to him, L'dvarecha, Harehu Oiver, Mishem Bayira Bayimotza. You who said that you should separate, his opinion was, in the Mishnah, separate the dough and take it off and put it to the side. By leaving it on the side, why is there no concern that you could end up with chametz? Bayira Bayimotza. That's what Rabbi Lezer says to Rabbi Shua. Harei Oiver Bayira Bayimotza. Vishasiklei. And in the Braisa we find Rabbi Shua not responding. Why didn't he respond? And our Mishnah, when faced with this question, he had an answer. The Tanan, Rabbi Shua explained in the Mishnah, the reason there is no problem with Bayira Bayimotza, because this is not where there's a this is Bayira Bayimotza. Because as he explained in the Mishnah, the only time we're over Bayira Bayimotza is on chametz that you own. This is not chametz that you own. So, Ella, what do we see? Shasuklei bebraisa. Even though Rabbi Shua didn't respond to Rabbi Lezer in the braisa, umahadlei masnisin, but he did respond in the Mishnah. Hachinami says the Gemara, Ema, Rabbi Lezer shasuklei bemasnisin, didn't answer in the Mishnah that the reason what I'm saying as an approach is a legitimate approach because I hold of hoyel, but ahadlei bemilsachrita, he answered him, and elsewhere. So a non-response, the Gemara is saying, is not necessarily a proof that you don't have what to say. Tanya, and the Gemara concludes, Halacha Rabbi Lezer. The Halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, you could bake them all and rely, and then take off Chala, because you rely on Hoyl. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Halacha Ben Seira, like Ben Seira said in the Mishnah, is that separate Chala from the dough, but put the dough in cold water, and by putting the dough in cold water, what you will accomplish is that it will prevent it from becoming chametz. So, going into that discussion, what we need to do to prevent chametz, says the Braisa, v'kamashirisa, how large of a dough may you make that you can be sure that if you keep on working with that dough, it won't become chametz? Rav Shema b'nai Shabbi Yechim Abraika Oimer, b'chitin, if you're making a dough out of flour from wheat, kabayim. You can make a dough that's 2 kabim big, b'sa'irim, and when you're making a dough out of barley, you can make it up to 3 kabim. Because wheat gives out, makes more flour than tzairim, and therefore 3 kabam of chitim is going to be too much of a flour to work at one time, and therefore you won't be able to work with it to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. Rav Nazar, Raimim Shem Rav Lezer, Chilf Advarim, just the opposite. By Sa'irim, you could only use 2 kabim, and by Chitin, you could use 3 kabim, because his opinion is that Sa'irim are quicker to be machmitz. Sa'irim become fermented quicker than Chitin, and therefore we have to have a smaller Sa'irim dough than a Chitin dough. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, nobody can argue on a metzias. They can't argue on facts. And indeed, the chitim have more fat content, and that prevents them from becoming chametz. The soyrim have less fat content. And therefore, and on the other hand, certainly there's more flour by chitim than there is from soyrim. The question is, what is the bigger consideration that we should take, that we should consider when we say what can and can't be done? Ask the Rav Tanya, Rav Shmuel ben Noach, Rav Yochanan ben Broicha, Omer, Beisa Chitin Shloshes Kabim, Besoyin Abaras Kabim. Here we see that he says that by Chitim you can use 3, and by Soyin you can use 4. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. This second Braisa is talking about Bechasichsa, poor quality Chitim, poor quality soyrim. They're the qualities that make a lot of flour, or the other factors that make chitim and soyrim a concern for chimitz aren't so prevalent, and therefore we could use more habim al yosef. But when you're using higher quality, superior quality, that's when we have more consideration. Says the Gemara. The Gemara makes a comment based on these facts. Amar Papa Shmamino. The differential between poor quality wheat and good quality wheat is more significant than the differential between poor quality barley and good quality barley. The difference by wheat is that flour that's made from 3 kabim of poor wheat is equal to flour that's made from 2 kabim of good. So that means the difference is a tilsa. The difference between good quality and poor quality is a third. Hacha, when we speak about barley, we spoke about flour that's made from 4 kabim of barley are equal to flour that's made from 3 kabim of good barley. What's the differential? A river, only a quarter. So we see that there's a bigger difference. Why do we have to know this differential? So Rashi explains, we need to know le mekach memka for business. That somebody was sold flour, and it's supposed to be good quality flour, and it turns out good quality wheat flour, for example, and it turns out to be poor quality wheat, so you have to add a third to get to that what my customer was supposed to receive. And the same would be by barley. If I was sold him good quality barley and it turned out to be poor quality barley, I have to add a quarter again because that's the differential. But one thing we see clearly that we have to be careful with the size of the challah that we bake. And that, says the Gemara, is Amarav, Kabim Lugna, the flour that is made out of a kav of wheat in the place called Mugna Lepischa. That's the size of a dough that one should use on Pesach. The Kain Lechala, and that is the shear that should be used for challah. Ask the Gemara of Atanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Challah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, that chameshes revoim kemech void, that the amount of flour that you have to bake with to be chayif for challah is 5/4 of a kav, which is a kav and a reva, a kav and a quarter. That's when you chayif in challah. How says the Gemara? Hachikama. That's exactly what Rav meant to say. Kav melgna, when you have flour, a kav melgna, That is considered everywhere else the shear of a kavareva, and that's the shear for which you are chai. That's the shear that you should bake with. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Nosh Didon, our wives, Nogla Mefer, when they're baking matzahs, Kafiza Kafiza, Lepischa, they only use a 3 lug of flour at a time on Pesach to make the matzah. Why? Because when you have too much flour, there's a concern that it's much more likely to become chametz because you have so much flour that you're working with. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, my datach, what's the reason you're saying this? L'chumra. Because there's a chumra that you want to say that you should be careful to use not such a large amount of flour to avoid chametz. Ask the Gemara, but chumra dasla de kulahu. This is a chumra that could bring a kula to come after le mechala. If I would have had the bigger shear, as we just said, then you'd be chayiv and chala. By taking a smaller amount, you're not going to be chayiv and chala. And as I saw, the Rishonim and Achronim all point out that from here we see that a person is supposed to try to do whatever he can not to avoid doing a mitzvah. And here, by taking such a smaller amount of flour, he's avoiding the mitzvah of challah. Amalei, says the Gemara, the Avner Krebelezer, what they do is they still will be chayiv and challah. Because what they do is they do what Krebelezer said. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, in Masech T'challah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, that if you make a number of doughs, that each dough itself doesn't have the sheer challah, but if you're going to put them all together, they're going to be chayiv and they're going to have the shear. What? So according to Tanakama, they're not chayiv until they're actually touching each other in the oven. Rav Lezer has a different opinion. He says, I write the v'nois in l'sal. If you take him out of the oven and you put him into the basket, hatzah mitzar from l'chala. Putting them into that basket, if they're all together in the basket, that's when they can be chayiv and chala. And says the Gemara, Rav Rav Yudam Shmuel, Halach Kerb Elezer. So that's why, by the matzah as well, even though we're not baking with enough flour to be chayiv in challah, but we're going to put all the matzahs into a basket, and that basket will make them, and when we have them all in the basket, we'll have the proper shir challah, and we'll be chayiv. Amalei, V'etma lo Amar Rav Yishu ben Levi, lo shanu el kikro shabavol. When did Rabbi Lezer say his halacha? Only by the kikros abovel, shenosh chazu bezu, that when they're in the oven, they touch each other. And since when they're in the oven, they touch each other, they're all considered one dough. Avel keichen, long breads that don't touch each other, loy, they're not connected. In other words, he's saying that even Rabbi Lezer, who says that when you put them into one basket, they could all be considered as one for the chiyuv challah, that's only when in the oven they were touching each other. But when they're not touching each other in the oven, then they're not chayim chala. Says the Gemara, itma lo. We learned differently. Because Amar Chanan, afilu ke'echim, even if they're in a shape that they don't touch each other in the oven, Rabbi Lezer holds that it's enough to be considered if they're in the basket together, they can be chayim chala. Rabbi Yehuda Asad, in the Shalz of Chuvis, Marie Osad, Shal Eurechaim Sim Kufnan Zayin, says that when our Mishnah says, Kikra Shabovel, Shanoish Chazu Mazu, so Rashi explains, Shem Rechavis, Vagulois, Kain Shalonu, they're wide and round like ours. So he says that from here we see that whatever the word Ugois are used, it means round. And therefore, he says that's the minig, that the matzahs that we make should be round. Because the Torah, when it speaks about matzah, says ugois matzos. And whenever the word ugois is used, it means round. He brings another raya from the Gemara Masech Tainis, that Yutas Amun Aleph, that the Gemara says there, that Choni Amago made a circle, og uga, v'amid be'emtza. And means that he made a circle. So whenever we see that the word og or uga is used, it means to make round. And that's where the minhag, he says, comes to make round matzahs. The reason why machine matzahs are not made round is because machine matzahs, the machines were square. And they were concerned that if they're going to make the matzahs round, they're going to have the excess dough, which is chametz, and will be put into other doughs, which could really be a very serious concern. And because of that, they left that the matzah should always be, that the mishim matzah should remain square. By Rabbi Yemiya. So Rabbi Yemiya says that, what's the halacha? We said that by putting various, the many matzahs into one basket, that's how they all become connected, and there's a chiyuv chala. What's going to be halacha by tavla she'en lo levazbazin? You have a flat board that doesn't have a rim around it. Mahu. Could that flat board be mitzarif all of the chala? Toichli binin. Is the halacha that we need to have a keli that has an inside, that has sides, valeka. A flat board doesn't. Idilma, avikli binin. As long as they're on top of a board together, that's enough, valeka. And the Gemara remains with a teku. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer, hasal mitzarfen, the basket in which they're all put, puts them to, it connects them for the chiyuv chala. Rabbi Shua Omer, tana mitzarfen. When they're all in the oven, that's what connects them. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, kikur sheba bavel shenoish chazu mezu. If they touch each other in the oven, mitzarfes, that's enough to connect them. So he obviously holds that the sal alone is not enough of a tziruf. So here we've learned that a person should be very careful not to bake too much of a matzah together, too much dough together, because when we bake too much dough together, we have a real concern that that could become chametz. However, the Rishonim already say that if we have a bakery where we have many people working in the bakery, so even if we're going to have a large dough, since we have so many people working there, that prevents the chametz, we could be lenient. And the Mishnah Brura in Siman Tuf Nun Vav Sif Kot Zayin says the world, everybody has been lenient with this, and they say that you can bake with a big dough, because since you have so many people working in the bakery, that's enough. So here we also discussed that if you want to be chayiv and challah, you could have it all in one basket. La'alocha, the bi'alocha, says it doesn't have to have very large size. As long as there's something sticking out from the side, that's enough. And also the paiskim say that if you cover them, so if you put a cover on top of the matzahs or the chalas that you want to use, that you want to be mitzara for the chiyuv chala, that could connect them as well. So our Mishnah goes on to discuss how we could prepare the matzah and be comfortable that there shouldn't be any concern of chimutz. So Gamliel Amar Shalosh Noshes Loishes Kachas, three women who are working in the bakery could be kneading the dough at the same time. Five is betana achen, and they'll be baking in one oven, zu achazu, one after the other. Even though, the way Rabbi Gamliel is explaining, the people who are working here are, there's only one at a time, the oven's a small oven, so one person has matzah in the oven, and the other two are still waiting to get the matzahs in the oven, we're not concerned. The chamim are not lenient. They say, Shalosh Nashim Oysa B'Batzuk Achas, three women can be working with one dough. Achas Lashim, but they should work with a delay. One should start kneading, Achas Arachas, while the other one is already preparing the dough, and Achas is Oifa. That means we should stagger it. The first woman should start before the second, and the second before the third, so there should be no moment where somebody isn't working with the matzah. We have to look at the circumstances. There are women that will constantly be working with the matzah. And since they're going to be constantly working with the matzah, we don't have to worry that the matzah will be left idle. Then there are wood, which are not dry. They're very hot. And the oven is very hot. And therefore, the matzahs get baked very quickly. And all these factors, said Rabbi Akiva, have to be taken into consideration what may be done or not. Zeh klal, And then Rabbi Akiva gives us a rule. Tafach, if somebody sees that the dough that they're working with is beginning to swell, is beginning to become chametzdik, teltish besoinen, it should be put into cold water. And by putting it into cold water, it retards the processing, it retards the chametz situation. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim. We know that matzah only becomes chametz in 18 minutes. What does that mean? So Ritva says that it takes 18 minutes for a dough to become chametz, and therefore he says working with the dough stops the fermentation process for a maximum of 18 minutes. So in other words, the Ritva is saying that a dough can become chametz after 18 minutes, even if it was continuously worked on. And a dough that is left idle, according to Ritva, can become chametz in less than 18 minutes. The Rambam disagrees. He says that as long as dough is being worked on, it never becomes chametz. We have to know what asik means. But according to the Rambam, if there's asik with the dough, if the dough is constantly being worked on, even if it's worked on all day long, it won't become chametz. What he says when we speak about 18 minutes, 18 minutes, he says, applies to a dough that's left idle. A dough that's left idle will become chametz if it wasn't worked on for 18 minutes. The Rosh agrees with the Rambam, but he says when he speaks that you can't leave the dough idle for 18 minutes, he says this is true only if the dough has not yet been warmed. But if the dough became warm, even though 18 minutes is usually the shear, that's on a regular dough. But a dough that's warm, the shear is less than 18 minutes. And the Mishnah Brura paskens that lechatchila and siman tuf nun tes zivkat nutches, and he discusses it in the Bi'ur Halacha as well. The lechatchila one should be machmer not to leave the dough, like the Ritva says, not to leave the dough without asik even for a moment. But he says, but the evid, as long as we don't see any simonim on the dough that we've been learning and we'll continue learning, what are the simonim of chimutz? If we don't see any simonim of chimutz, we could be lenient and say that the dough is not chametz. So our Gemara said that if you see a dough is becoming chametz, tafach teltish b'tzar. So I saw from the Sefer Divrei Yisrael, he says that just like in our Gemara we're learning that when the dough gets warm, it could bring chimutz. Sometimes we have the same thing when panosa. People think that if we work hard, if we put a lot of effort into our livelihood, into our panosa, that's what's going to bring panosa. But actually, he says that on the contrary, a person should realize that panosa comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And on the other hand, tifach, if you see that you're getting too involved in your panosa and it's consuming you, tiltish b'tzoinen, cool down a little and realize what is important in life and what is less important in life. Tana Rabbanan, losha, if we are needing this dough, himakatefes, so the Gemara is explaining the opinion of the Chachamim that we should start this staggered system. And therefore it says the Braisa Losha, one that needed the dough, himakatefes, then the first woman begins shaping the dough, chaverta losha tachter, so the next woman should start kneading. Mekatefes, and when the second woman is beginning to shape the dough, hima oifer, that's when the first one is shaping the dough, hi oifer, she should now go bake, chaverta, and the third person, and the second person, mekatefes tachter, could start shaping the dough, working with the dough, vashlishes, and the third woman, losha, could start kneading the dough, oifer, when the first woman is baking, he losha, when she finishes baking, he losha, then she should start the process again of kneading a dough. And then the second one is baking. Then that they have this rotation. And since at all times somebody's working with the dough, that's how we prevent chimutz. Rabbi Kiva, I'm a loyal Anoshim. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Kiva, Dante, Hayit, Lefnei, Rabbi Gamliel. I was learning this in the Mishnah in front of my Rebbe, and he said, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, if Rabbi Gamliel, please teach me, when was this rule said? B'Noshim's Rizis or B'Noshim Shena's Rizis? Women who are very effective or less effective. Beitzim lachem, beitzim veishim. Moist wood doesn't get as hot as dry wood. Tanacham atan tzoinen. The heat of the oven. Amalei and Gamliel said, "Ein lachem mashishon chachamim ze klal." Don't start making all of these evaluation. Rather, the halach is tofach. If you see that the matzah is starting to ferment, tiltish betzoinen, pour on cold water. That retards the leavening. Seir. So we've been discussing in our shiurim that there's something called seir. That is an early stage of chimutz. Yisarif, the Tanakhama says that if you have a dough that became seir, it has to be burnt before Pesach. Even though midaraisa, there is no bayirah b'yimatzoi, Chazal, the Rabbanan say that it has to be burnt. Ha'oichloi, but if somebody eats seir, his potter, it's not considered that he ate chametz. Siduk, once the dough starts getting cracks, yisarif, that is chametz, and if somebody chas v'shalom ate such a dough on Pesach, hoich l'chayiv karas. Eze seir, so says the Mishnah, at what point is it considered seir? Kikhani chagovim, when it starts forming cracks that look like the antenna on locust. Siduk is ach nesarve nesdokim zev zeh, until these cracks start intertwining. Div Rabbi Yehuda. V'chamayim, zev zeh, both, any type of cracks, even if they're not intertwined, that is already hoich l'chayiv charetz, that's considered full-fledged chametz. There's a seir. What is the earliest stage of seir that if somebody ate that, he wouldn't be chayiv for eating chametz gomer? Koshech sif uponav. It's when it got pale, the dough started changing color, getting lighter. Ka'odam sham de seroisov. When a person gets scared, he gets pale. Tana ban ez seir. What is the definition of seir? Koshech sichu panav kadam sham de seroisov. A person who's scared gets pale. Siduk. What is the status of siduk? Kikarni chagovim when it forms these cracks. Divrei Rameya. So Rameya has the stricter opinion. Becham moimim ez seir kikarni chagovim when it has cracks. That's ready. That's when it's seir. Siduk is shenis arve sedokim zebezeb. When the cracks start getting intertwined, v'zeh, only at the point where it has cracks or the cracks get intertwined, at that point, that's when Yechayiv Karas. Ask the Gemara, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, say Yisarif, v'ayich lepata div Rabbi Yehuda? And so we see that the Chum and the Brayis are Rabbi Yehuda. So how are we saying that at that point, you parted from Karas? According to him, Seir is Chametz. Seir is when it has the cracks. Ema, Rameyer, what the Mishnah means to say is like this. When the Mishnah says, v'zeh, v'zeh, oich l'chayiv karis, is not the opinion of the Chachamim, it's the opinion of Rameyer. The coin to Rameyer, zeh, v'zeh, whether, if it's, whatever type of cracks you have, that type of crack, y'chayiv karis. Oich l'chayiv karis, because any situation of cracks, according to Rameyah, is chametz gomer. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have cracks that are not intertwined, then the kikani chagovim, they're only in the status of seir. And if they're in the category of seir, they may not be eaten on Pesach, but there's no chiv karis. Only when those cracks become intertwined is the chiv karis. Ask the Gemara, why? Why does Rameyah hold it as soon as they have cracks? Even though those cracks are not intertwined, is it considered chametz gomer? Answers the Gemara, because Rameyah holds, ein lecha kosadak v'stak b'mala. When we see cracks on the top of the dough, there must be shein lecham stak b'mata. It must be an indication that there are many cracks under the top of the dough, under the surface of the dough, that are already intertwined. And since we see that at that point, Rabbi Meir already holds, therefore it's considered chametz gomer. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not chametz gomer unless we can actually see those simonim And even if they're there under the surface, as long as you don't see them, it's not considered chametz gomer.